717 at KLIF and wherever you happen to be, most likely, unless you're listening online or something. In any case, good morning. I'm Dave Williams, Amy Shadroff on vacation. And we have a number of topics to discuss this morning about politics. Political commentator Scott Ott joining me right now, and it's a pleasure to talk with Scott always. Scott, what has caught your interest over the weekend?
Well, you know, obviously I've just been reading a bunch of stuff about this whole Brexit vote, the Great Britain leaving the European Union, which, as many folks know, doesn't actually happen right away. Just because they voted on that, it takes a couple of years to play out. And it's funny because all of the campaigners who said, let's remain in the European Union, did so by trying to inspire panic among the populace and saying, you know, essentially everything would collapse if we left the European Union. So now they continue that with all the articles saying, oh, nobody knows what's going to happen. So because nobody knows, there's going to be instability and there's going to be panic. And as I was reading these articles, I thought, well, if you folks in the media and the chattering class would stop saying there's going to be panic, maybe there would be no panic.
That, boy, isn't that, you know, isn't that the world we're in right now? I mean, everything that is published is like the end of the world. And what really amused me about the reaction to Brexit is 1 week ago, 95% of Americans had no idea what that meant. And suddenly all the experts in the world are coming out of the social media walls and saying, this is terrible. This is a disaster for the world.
Well, yeah, and I think here's the solution, by the way, unlikely that the UK is going to embrace, but the solution to a situation of panic like this is conservative leadership. Because, you know, if you're looking for stability, you don't want a revolutionary in there. You don't want a socialist in there who's trying to upend the social order. You want somebody like a Maggie Thatcher with a steady hand who can come in here and, you know, far be it for me to use this phrase, make the UK great again. And, you know, somebody who can really have a sense of macroeconomics and of history and who can give confidence to the rest of the world that says, look, you know, you all can go into a flutter if you like, but we're going to sail a steady course here and we'll be just fine.
Yeah, isn't it true that people really want a dad or a mom in charge of their country, just as they do in their family?
Yeah, I think they do. They don't want somebody who tells them what to do every moment of the day, but they do want somebody that every time they look to them, they see somebody at the helm who is not in a tizzy. And so that was the great thing about Margaret Thatcher. She was the Iron Lady. She was unshakable. And that was the great thing about Ronald Reagan. You knew that you were never going to see him, you know, running around waving his arms because he knew who he was. He knew what America stands for. He knew what his principles were. And therefore, he had a stable guide when he met with the various issues and events that can arise for a president.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't know if this caught your attention. It certainly did mine because been a big fan of George Will for a very long time. And I know that, you know, he's often very controversial. I still think he's one of the smartest guys on the planet politically, although I don't understand half of what he says. He said
he is erudite.
Yes, he has quit the Republican Party because of Donald Trump. He said, this is not my party. He said the last straw was Paul Ryan's endorsement of Trump. And in fact, he's going so far as to tell conservatives to hold their nose, grit their teeth, and vote for Hillary.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm willing to take that last step with him. I mean, I've joked with my friends that I would quit the Republican Party if I could find some place to quit. Because here in Texas, I don't have a card that says I'm a Republican or anything.
Right, right.
So, you know, in Pennsylvania, I was clearly registered as a Republican. But here it seems more like a la carte on the day of election or whatever you want to do. But I can understand his feelings. I've, for a long time, even while I was running for office, felt alienated from my own party because, frankly, most of the people who are in charge of running it have different motivations than somebody who's a principled constitutional conservative. And I don't mean social issues. I just mean they just seem to be in the business of politics where I was more interested in good governance. So I can get why George Will would say something like that.
The other thing I was wondering about, if you still have any interest in the Benghazi House Select Committee. They're apparently wrapping up their work, and they wanted to ask the president. They sent some questions over to the president, and the White House shot back, "How dare you? You can't ask the president questions. It's inappropriate and a partisan attempt to frame the White House as uncooperative." Well, you are uncooperative. Do you have any interest in that?
Yes, as much respect as I have for Trey Gowdy, who's the head of this committee, and he seems to be a genuine guy who really wants to get to the bottom of things, but I'm always suspicious of these congressional probes because so many of them are used as just platforms for speechmakers, and especially in an election year, you never know when they're legitimately chasing a line of inquiry because it's going to lead to the truth, or could lead to the truth, and whether they're just grandstanding. Now, the allegation is that Gowdy's committee waited until this point, right before the political conventions for the parties going into the summer, to request that the president answer these questions. His committee argues that they laid the groundwork a long time ago and said, look, we're going to have some questions to ask you, and so we just wanted to let you know up front. In fact, we're willing to give you a draft of the questions. I think back in January or so, they said, we're willing to give you a draft of those questions so you can get a sense of what we're going to ask. And we've received new information now, they're saying. The reason why the questions come now is they've received new information that they want the president's input on.
I'm absolutely stunned that at this point, with Trump being the obvious nominee, that the Republicans haven't dug in and started their attack on Hillary Clinton for Benghazi. Nothing's happening.
Well, nothing's being. I don't know how much of that has to do with the fact that at the end of May, Donald Trump had $1.3 million in his campaign account, which sounds like a lot of money, but it's a pittance in a race in which Hillary Clinton will probably raise like $1 billion.
Yeah.
So, I think Trump is still going on the theory that the power of his charisma and his personality is going to carry him far, and he is downplaying expectations that he was going to raise $1 billion himself, now saying he's only going to raise $500,000, and all the free media he gets will make up the difference. I think he better get on his horse if he really wants to win this thing. The latest ABC News Washington Post poll shows Clinton leading by 10%, although you got to adjust that a little because that was of registered voters, not likely voters. No. Trump actually does better among likely voters. The gap shrinks a bit because Trump does better among likely voters by about 8 points.
I would think, and it was so far through the whole primary season, the polls have been very good, but something tells me that this year those numbers could be very, very soft and suspect. For one thing, you've got an electorate that is changing its mind every other day and doesn't like either one of these candidates and probably will wait until the last minute and decide on the person who made the last halfway intelligent statement before they vote.
That's right. It's kind of like the Brexit thing. 95% of Americans won't know the week before what they're going to do when they get in there.
Yeah.
And they really won't get to know the candidates until late. I mean, Trump's unfavorable rating is historic. It's around 7 in 10 people say they have an unfavorable opinion. More than half say he's not qualified to be president. I think the number was 56%. But Hillary Clinton is not lagging far behind in the unlikability. She is doing much better among people who think that she would actually be competent to serve in the office. But likability is huge. And you're right, I think. It's going to come down to some event or some statement or some debate within a week or two before the election itself.
All right. Scott, thank you very much. As always, really enjoyed talking with you. We'll have to do it more often. Although he's a very busy guy. Scott Ott, one of the, I think, probably the best up-and-coming political commentators in the country. And you can catch him pretty much everywhere. Go to his website and check him out, scottott.tv.